So during this month of September, we've been following a series on 1 Peter chapters 1 and 2. We've thought about the new birth that we're promised into a living hope. We've thought about the call to holy living, that running towards God and reflecting God's holiness. We've talked about being God's chosen people, being living stones. Where many of us are up there. This is your last chance to become one of the living stones in the body of Christ here, although we probably will take it down before next weekend. But do feel free to join that if you want to. And today we're thinking in this final part of this series about how to live as servants of God. And I think it's really hard. It's a really hard call to live as a servant of God. It's hard today for all sorts of reasons. But it's also true to say that it's always been hard and always will be hard. It's not always the easy option to be called to be a child of God, to be called to this holy living. Nevertheless, it's the option that is life-giving. It's the option that's joy-filled. It's the option that's full of the promise of hope. But it is hard. So how do we live as servants of God today at such a time as this? Peter starts this passage by saying in verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles." Now, in the first century, the time that this letter was written, followers of Jesus were the persecuted and marginalized majority. It was before the days when Christianity became the accepted religion of either the empire or the country. So they were in a difficult position. They felt like aliens and exiles. She's really welcome to go up to, there's a nice activity upstairs if any of these little people want to go up and do it, a gluing and cutting and sticking activity. But how were those early Christians to respond to the challenges and difficulties of their own times, politically and personally? And that's what Peter's addressing in this part of his letter. But before we go any further, I want to think about that thing about being an alien in exile. Because I wonder if some of us sometimes feel like an alien and exile in our own land, particularly maybe as a Christian in our multicultural society, maybe particularly during this time of political polarization and the debate over Brexit, maybe with issues such as the climate emergency, the collapse of businesses like Thomas Cook, the closing of high streets, the rise in the use of food banks and homelessness. Maybe for some of you, a heightened and painful sense of being alien or exile if you come from a European country and you're not sure of what your ongoing status will be, or if you come from another land and you're not sure what your immigration status is. How do we find that path, sometimes feeling to a greater or lesser extent like aliens and exiles? How do we find that path to follow the path of living as servants of God? Peter starts by saying this, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against your soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles." That's those who aren't Christians, not Jews either. "So they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge." In other words, a high standard is demanded of us, resisting the temptation of worldly pleasures and power, conducting ourselves honorably. But what does that mean in practice? Well, Peter gives us a few pithy sentences as a practical guide to living as servants of God. And he starts with this one, "For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution." Now, I think that's been pretty challenging this week. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone. Love the family of believers. All of us, everyone, fear God, honor the emperor. quite challenging stuff, isn't it? Jesus gives us a clear steer about some of this in the gospel reading that Nikki read to us. The Pharisees plotted to try to trap Jesus by asking whether it's lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not. And Jesus replied by showing them the coin used for the tax and saying those famous words, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." As servants of God, we are to honour everyone and to accept the authority of human institutions, due and appropriate respect to government, but only in the way that is also of God, full of holiness and truth. Yet this week, in this country, we've heard words like traitor, collaborator, surrender, betrayal, being used in the House of Commons by MPs. And these words have been described as toxic, poisonous, vitriolic, inflammatory, leading to a bear pit of polarisation. We've heard how our members of parliament are being subjected to death threats and terrible abuse. Even their children are being threatened. Sometimes these things feel just like bits that we read in the newspaper, but it was brought home to me in its real reality a few weeks ago when I met a very close friend of mine who's been my prayer partner for many years, who is an MP, and when I met her for supper, she was wearing a personal alarm round her neck because she has received death threats. And her daughter, who's my goddaughter, has been threatened too. In their home, they have a safe room. It's real. In a statement by all the Church of England bishops this week, they said this. Well, I'm just going to read you three sentences out of a longer statement. They said this: we should speak to others with respect, and we should also listen. They said, we call on politicians to adhere rigorously to the rule of law and on all to respect and uphold the impartiality of the courts and our judiciary. It's easy to descend into division and abuse. Climbing out and finding unity again takes far longer. It is our view and most solemn warning that we must find better ways of acting. As Peter reminds us in verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing right, you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As we choose to respect human institutions, to fear God, and to honour everyone, we maintain a clear witness. We show Jesus to the world. And we're to do that when it's straightforward and easy, which occasionally it is. And we're also to do it when it's really hard and difficult, even when it means opposition and suffering. Because that's what Jesus modelled. And in the second part of the passage, this is what Peter addresses. And he says this about Jesus: when he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus suffered as an example for us and also on our behalf. For we can only follow the path of living as servants of God through the power of that loving act of Jesus on the cross. We can't do it in our own strength. It's too difficult. Don't know if anyone else is on Twitter, but the Archbishop of Canterbury tweeted this on Friday: join me in praying for MPs, their families and staff across all parties at this difficult time, especially those who face unacceptable abuse and intimidation. We must model good disagreement in our debates and show respect and support for those in public service. And in that tweet, he offers us two responses to the difficulties of polarisation and political uncertainty. One is to pray for those people who are being impacted at every level of society. And two, to think about how we model good disagreement and how we speak well of one another. And these two responses are not just for this big political situation that we face as a nation at the moment, but they're for living our ordinary everyday lives as servants of God, personally, in our church families, in our communities, as well as nationally. For as we seek in practice to do those things, to honour everyone, to love the family of believers, to fear God, to honour the emperor, we must pray for ourselves, we must pray for each other, the family of believers, and other church families of believers, the big worldwide, if you like, family of believers, our local community, and for those who serve in our human institutions, for Parliament, for the Supreme Court, for the civil service. And we must choose to speak well of one another. This means speaking well of one another in the family of believers, those who have gathered here this morning, and our sisters and brothers who aren't with us today. It means speaking well of one another in our local community. Now, I've just come back from holiday for a week with a group from my tennis club. It was a tennis holiday, so we played lots of tennis. And I found myself quite challenged by that, well, not by playing tennis, but I found myself quite challenged in some of the times I had with that group of people, some of them I know quite well because I played tennis with them quite a lot, some I'd never met before, over drinks, over lunch, whatever. It's very tempting to join in with the gossip, with the putting down and denigrating of others that always happens in a group like that. I found myself challenged. Where is your place where you are challenged? Where you hear or feel the temptation to join in, whether it's at school, college, your workplace, in your social life, in the local community? Where do you sometimes feel tempted not to speak well of others, to put others down, not to build up? And it means speaking well of those who serve in our public institutions, our elected politicians. Now, this definitely doesn't mean you agree with everyone or everything. Of course it doesn't. That's not the point of this. It's not about where we that we have to agree or support or vote or do anything or take a particular view on anything. It's thinking carefully about when we disagree, how we express that disagreement, how we do it conducted by showing respect and honour to others. And this is for all of us, and I'm sure that a lot of us would like to give this message to some of our elected politicians who we might feel haven't behaved as honourably and well as they should have done in the House this week. It's about thinking carefully about the words and expressions we all use, not resorting to quick and easy insults. I think it's really hard. I find it hard. I know I make mistakes with it all the time. We've seen those in our national leadership make mistakes with it this week. But this is the call as part of being that path, following that path of being servants of God, to pray, to honour, to show respect for everyone, and to speak well of one another. Peter ends the passage saying, "For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." And that, of course, is through that loving act of Jesus on the cross, drawing each one of us back into relationship with God. So let's return to the shepherd and guardian of our souls, remembering that each of us is a living stone making up the body of Christ, that each of us is one of God's chosen people, that we are all called to holy living. We're all called to live as servants of God, to pray, and to speak well of one another. Amen.